Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Gerwara High-Tech Films Q2 and H1 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on a touch-tone phone. Please note this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Garima Singhala. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'm Garima Singhala, and it's my pleasure to welcome you on behalf of Gerwara High-Tech Films Limited. Thank you for joining us today for Quarter 2 and First Half of Financial Year 26 earnings conference call. This call is being hosted by Go India Advisors. Please note that today's discussion may include certain forward-looking statements. Therefore, they must be viewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. Today on the call, we are joined by Mr. M.S. Adsul, Director Technical, Mr. Deepak Joshi, Director of Sales and Marketing, and Mr. Abhishek Agarwal, the CFO. I now invite Mr. Deepak Joshi to present the company's business outlook and performance, after which we will open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. It gives me a great pride to speak about a company that has truly stood the test of time, a fundamentally strong organization built over 90 years of innovation, integrity, and resilience. Gerwara High-Tech Films Limited has consistently evolved with changing times, adapting to new technologies and global shifts while staying true to its core values of quality, trust, and excellence. These pillars have enabled GHFL to not only withstand market cycles but to emerge stronger with every challenge. The second quarter of FY26 once again validated the resilience and depth of our business model. The quarter unfolded amid persistent geopolitical volatility and successive tariff action by the U.S. government, which posed significant challenges for the business. Yet, despite these external headwinds, GHFL not only absorbed the impact of these challenges but continued to create a long-term value for its shareholders, a true reflection of our agility, discipline, and enduring competitive strength. During the quarter, we navigated through the impact of the revised U.S. tariff structure, which increased duties by up to 50% on all product categories. Yet, GHFL reported a 15% sequential growth in revenue quarter-on-quarter basis and limited the year-on-year decline marginally to 8.2%, a clear reflection of our operational agility, strong market positioning, and enduring customer trust across global markets. Our EBITDA stood at rupees 133 crore, lower by 11.4% year-on-year due to tariff-related impact. However, our EBITDA margins remained healthy at 23.4%, underscoring our disciplined expense management, proactive cost optimization, and unwavering focus on operational excellence. Exports continued to be the cornerstone of our growth, contributing 77% of total revenues this quarter. Our Sun Control Films segment witnessed strong demand momentum, while the architectural film business continued its rapid expansion in the U.S., Middle East, and Indian markets, supported by focused marketing initiatives and the launch of premium products. A key milestone during the quarter was the doubling of our paint protection film capacity to 600 LSF. This expansion removes the earlier fungibility loss with SCF lines, thereby enhancing manufacturing efficiency and unlocking additional capacity for future growth. Looking ahead, our TPU manufacturing line, which is primarily backward integration for PPF, is on track for commissioning by October 2026. 25% of capacity is dedicated to next-generation film solutions. We are also deepening our domestic and direct-to-customer presence through our two strategic platforms, Garhware Home Solutions and Garhware Application Studios. The launch of Garhware Home Solution marks a significant strategic leap forward, a high-margin D2C vertical aimed at capturing the growing demand for premium architectural films in India. This initiative enables GHFL to directly engage with end consumers and premium real estate developers, thereby enhancing our brand visibility, customer reach, and margin profile. In parallel, our Garhware Application Studios, this network, a direct-to-consumer platform for a premium paint protection and glazing film, continues to expand at a robust pace. We are well on track to cross 300-plus studios by the end of FY26, strengthening our presence up to Tier 3 cities and building a strong ecosystem that connects with innovation, service, and brand experience directly with the consumers. On the global front, we are diversifying. We continue to penetrate deeper into key export markets, expanding our footprint across Europe, the Middle East, and South America. These regions hold immense potential, and our premium product portfolio, backed by strong consumer partnerships, positions us well to capture incremental market share and build long-term growth avenues. GHFL continues to innovate. Innovation is true in our DNA while continuously improving operational efficiency and expanding its leadership across product segments. Our multi-segment presence, spanning automotive, architectural, industrial, and specialty films, provides a natural hedge against the sectoral cyclicality and enhances earning stability. Looking ahead, our strategic priorities remain very clear: strengthening backward integration, accelerating innovation, expanding global reach, enhancing our B2C presence, and deepening domestic market penetration. These initiatives are well designed to deliver sustainable and profitable growth, even in the challenging market conditions, while creating long-term value for our shareholders. Thank you very much. I now hand it over to Mr. Abhishek Agrawal, CFO, who will be discussing the financial highlights.
Thank you, Deepak, and good morning to everybody. Let me take you through the key financial highlights for the quarter and half year ended September 30th, 2025. For quarter two of FY26, our consolidated revenue stood at 569.7 crores. Compared to 620.6 crores in Q2 of FY25, reflecting a 8.2% year-on-year decline. This was primarily due to the base effect and the tariff-related disruptions. However, on a quarter-on-quarter basis, revenue grew by 15% over Q1 of FY26. Traditionally, one of our stronger performing quarters backed by steady demand in our core products. EBITDA stood at 133.3 crores, compared to 150.5 crores in quarter 2 of FY25, representing a 11.4% decline year-on-year, while improving by 8.4% quarter-on-quarter. The EBITDA margins stood at 23.4%, driven by cost optimization initiatives and a favorable product mix. PBT came in at 120.4 crores, down by 12.8% year-on-year, but sequentially up by 9.1%. PAT for the quarter was 91.2 crores compared to 104.3 crores in quarter 2 of FY25 and 83 crores in FY26, an increase of 10% quarter on quarter, indicating improving profitability. On a half yearly basis, the half year FY26 revenue stood at 1,065 crores, marginally lower by 2.8% year on year. While the EBITDA was 256.3 crores, down by 8.6% year-on-year. On the balance sheet front, GHFL remains debt-free with a robust cash and liquid investment balance of 697 crores as on September 30, 2025. This strong liquidity position provides ample headroom for our ongoing strategic capex, including the TPU line, as well as future innovation and expansion initiatives. Despite short-term headwinds, GHFL continues to maintain a strong financial foundation and steady operating cash flow generation. With new capacity additions, continued focus on value-added products, and improved manufacturing efficiency, we expect to gradually enhance our revenue visibility and profitability in the coming quarters. Thank you. Thank you all. I now hand it over to the moderator.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Mahesh from LIC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you so much, sir. And terrific numbers despite of the very adverse macro environment. So, sir, just want to understand how we are managing tariff issue now. Are we sharing, what is the arrangement as of now with the US customers?
Yeah. So thank you for your kind words on the performance. So on tariff situation, so we are managing in a way like whatever is our customers can absorb, because they have to sell it to the consumer, end consumer in US market. So whatever the number we are able to agree to pass it on with them, we are doing that. And balance we are absorbing. And having said that, we explained in the last quarter conference call, that the aim is not to lose any customer, because we have a very strong base, customer base in US market. So we will continue to support them with whatever it takes for us. But with the current situation where we are passing on some of the tariff to our customers, and balance we are absorbing. But ultimate aim, not to lose a single customer in the market, which have been built over 25 years of hard work in US market.
Sir, various media reports are talking about there's a possibility of deal between India and USA. So if the tariffs, which is now in excess of 50% now, if it comes down to around 20%, will there be impact on, assuming 20%, will there be impact on our margins?
Yeah, 20%, whatever incremental tariff comes from as compared to last year or prior to March, will have an impact on the margins. But the company has taken a lot of initiatives where cost savings, energy savings, and the portfolio enhancement of various products, we will ensure that we maintain the margins of 25 ±3%. That is the target guideline has been given for the EBITDA margins.
Sure. And sir, last question from my end. What has been the growth in terms of non-US business, be it domestic or non-US international business?
Yeah, so that growth has been quite strong. Other than US market has grown roughly around 20%, as compared to last year.
Sure. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Viraj Parekh from Carnelian Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Congratulations on your results. I have a follow-up question on the previous participants. You said the non-US business has grown around 20%. If I'm right, approximately 50% of our annual business last year, what we've done, is coming from US. So we cited two things for the degrowth. One is the high tariff, second is the high base. So could you just quantify how much was the high base effect in September 24? Because given the quarterly trend, it seemed like an abnormally high year. So if you could understand what was that one-off as well, SCF, PPF, and what was the percentage terms?
Yeah. See, high base, we have said because that last year Q2 has been the highest ever for us in terms of revenue and bottom line. So and this year has been the second highest performance for us. So now it's mainly the high base is a fact because that was there last year, but the major impact has come from tariff only. Because if you really see, from April onwards, we have already we were facing 10% higher tariff, then another 15% was added, and then lastly it was another 25% to make it 50% additional, right? So in Q1 also we had little impact, and Q1 we have quite a big impact. So this impact primarily comes from the tariff, because as you understand that, especially in the PPF business, where the product value is quite high, I mean, as compared to Sun Control in terms of absolute sales price, right? So 50% impact on PPF has been very tough for us in the U.S. market. But window film business has grown by, like, if we compare with last year same quarter, we had around 42% revenue share from window film, which has gone to 50% this year. So there is a big jump into window film. Whereas PPF, last year the revenue was 31% from PPF. It slightly gone down to 25%. But it is up as compared to last financial year, which was 20% for PPF. So, I mean, I would say this was seasonally a good season, a good quarter for us. But at the same time, the real negative impact has come from the tariff situation.
So given we have our second line of PPF operational, I believe we were working at peak capacity for both our lines in the previous quarters. Do we see that H2, with this line coming in, H2 will help us, you know, grow an annual guidance of 20%+ on the last year's base of 2,100 crore?
Yeah, definitely. We were not losing, I mean, I would say we were making the PPF before this new line into a fungible capacity of Sun Control, which now possible that we will make all PPF into PPF factory only. There are two lines. So this will give us an operational advantage compared to previous year. And then definitely the natural growth of around 20% would be there in PPF business.
Just last question before I get in queue. Based on last year's base, how much are you expecting our U.S. business to grow this year?
You mean I mean this year's revenue guidelines you are talking?
Yeah, purely for U.S.
Yeah. No, U.S., I think we will do, in terms of revenues, we will do like same or slightly better than last year. But the challenge is this tariff, and we are hearing quite good, I mean, I would say good feelers from U.S. market, including the quotes and the tariff deal between India and USA. So if all that happens, I mean, within this month or by December, so I think we should be able to maintain the volume and, or I would say, growth over the last year.
The last follow-up, just on this question, are we seeing that customers are, you know, deferring their orders because of the tariffs? Or what is it that, is there, like, what's the situation on ground there, if you could help us understand?
Yeah.
Because if you're saying this tariffs would be, you know, by December, when the clarity comes forth, that will we see order coming in?
Yeah, we are getting regular orders like we used to get. And like I said, our team, including I also personally met all the big customers there and assured that we will help in terms of mitigating the impact. That means we are absorbing the maximum portion of this tariffs because we, as I said, as a policy, it has been a long work of creating this customer base. So whatever was comfortable, we have passed on. Balance we are absorbing, right? But we are getting orders what we normally get, and in fact some higher orders also. But we are keeping them keeping them ready, keeping our inventory, but it will not show into the sales unless, you know, it is absolutely necessary. So in that way, I can say our customers and distributors are reducing the inventory, which used to be up to 3 months in some cases. They are going down up to one and a half months so that they do not lose the customer, but they take best, the advantage of the situation where if any deal happens, so they will, we will not have to bear that 50%, rather it can be like 15-20%, whatever the final number comes. So we are managing in a way, not keeping the supply chain empty, we are keeping it full, but only clearing goods when it is absolutely necessary by our customers. That's how we were able to maintain in Q2 a strong quarter, and trying to do the same thing in Q3. But if any deal happens, it will be pretty good and we will rush fast. But if otherwise, we'll have to wait a bit. So, it's our patience. We are just maintaining the situation correctly.
Thank you so much, sir. I'll get back into you. All the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akhil Parekh from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Okay. Hi, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on the good set of numbers despite the tariff headwinds. So my first question is, would you be able to quantify what percentage has been absorbed by us and what is kind of passed on to the end customer?
See, this is a bit confidential because this is like information which, you know, there are many customers and it depends on many factors, you understand. So this, I mean, we can't divulge that information, like how much we are doing not, because that creates a conflict among our customers.
Sure, no issues. Added 25% tariff, the last bit of tariff was implemented in end of August. So how is the channel inventory at the client level? Was there any kind of overstocking we saw in month of August? It was at the end of August. That's the second question.
Yeah, so this tariff, we were aware of the first 25% that it is coming. Since April, we were preparing for that. Like, there may be a situation where we'll have to go for 25%, 15-25%. But this 50% came as pretty quick and the timeline given was also pretty short. But still we tried to get as much as possible. Our lines were already running because of the season. It was quite good season. So, but whatever possible we could send the material, we could. So, we built better inventory or higher inventory that it normally is. So that's how we got the operational benefit in that case.
So the channel inventory is normal at the customer level, or that is what you are trying to imply?
It was, at the time, we made it higher when, the tariff implemented. And right now, it's lowest because we are trying to make it a very flexible one to take advantage. So at the time when the tariff started, it was like good inventory. They had 2-3 months inventory, but when not to everyone, I'm talking of some key customers, and as we speak right now, so we are maintaining the minimum because now everything has been flushed out of system, whatever was like, you know, earlier lower tariff situation. So right now we are keeping the customers are keeping minimum and we are keeping good inventory.
Sure. This is helpful. And last two questions. Once in your opening remark, you mentioned that the 25% of the TPU capacity will be for the new product solutions. Would you be able to shed more light what exactly those products would be?
Yeah, see, the thing is, I think even the previous calls also when we announced, so TPU is a product which has got lots of potential, very high technology product which goes into segments, various segments including architectural and some others, maybe medical and all. So we are working, but for the sake of, you know, a competitive advantage, we would not like to share the exact product names. But our R&D is working, and before the plant starts, we would be ready with that product line so that it takes minimum to penetrate the market and take advantage of that. But in very clear statements, we can say that 25% has been kept for new products, which might lead to a further expansion of this segment. 75% will be utilized for PPF and 25% for the new product. So that's the strategic call the management has taken as of now.
So last question on the guidance, when margins you have guided 22 to 25%, you are comfortable with for the 26, FY26. And in the PPT, you highlighted revenue CAGR of 15-20% for FY26 and beyond. So how should one read it? Like FY26 also, we are confident of 15% given that we have marginally declined the first half of this year. That's the last question.
Yeah, so like I said, we have been pretty clear. If you start, last 3 years before, we have given good guidelines and always maintained that. But current situation, you know, it depends on the tariff, and if everything goes well in November or December. So in that case, I think we should be able to do meet the guidelines of 25 plus minus 3% for the year, right? And on as I said, this is as of now, the situation is volatile. But the growth or in terms of inventories, we have maintained and filled the supply chain so that we can take advantage of the situation if the tariff goes down. So we are prepared for that kind of situation. But ultimately, it hinges around the decision on the tariff.
Sure, sir. This is helpful, and best wishes for coming quarters.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Jain from Credence Wealth. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations to the entire team. Wonderful set of numbers in a very tough environment. Just to clarify, so this 22-25% margins which you have said today, and where the tariff is already at 50%, so are we saying that as we speak today and with the kind of arrangements which we have already done with the buyers at 50% tariff, so you are saying that at this level we will be able to be in that margin range of 22 to 25 if there is no change in tariffs?
No. I said because, you know, what happened in Q1, we had like, you know, 10% tariff more or less, and Q2 we had like around 25% and some impact of 50%. So full impact of 50% is not seen yet. I mean, we have seen into couple of cases, but not to the full quarter, right? So if there is no deal or reduction on the tariff, then it will be really challenging to maintain the 22 to 25%, right? Mm-hmm. But as I said, we have the inventory supply chain is quite strong now with the healthy inventory. So if any situation comes where it drops in November and December, then we will be definitely be able to maintain this guideline which we have given just now, right? Else, we have made some arrangements already where it will take maybe another quarter, let's say by Q4. We have like, we and our technical team, we have worked like how do we navigate if the 50% remains forever as a worst case scenario. So we are prepared for that also. But as of now, if this deal happens, we are good for 20 to 25%. If that does not happen, we might have a stopgap of Q3 where we might have to suffer a bit. But on overall annual basis, we will be able to maintain what we have guided.
Sure. That is quite helpful. So I'm assuming that at 25% tariff, we are talking about EBITDA margins of 20 to 25%. Beyond that, it will all depend, right? That's
yes.
Really nice. Okay. So within the segments, our next level of growth, when we spoke about a year back, we were talking about high growth in architecture films. Somewhere around we had reached last year around 50 crores on a quarterly basis, so 200 crores, and we were targeting in next 2-3 years to take it to 500 crores. So, and also we had taken steps in terms of team building in US apart from India. Europe is already doing well. So if you can share some more details in terms of architecture films, where we stand today and how do we see the growth in this particular segment?
Yeah. So like you said, we have dedicated teams in US market, in Europe and in India. They are taking care of the architectural business and the growth has been really good, right? And the current status, we are on track for achieving the growth which we have predicted. And again, slight disruption because on margins, not on the sales from USA because of the tariff. But we got good orders and we are catering to that. This impact of the sale might come in Q4 because of this whatever the tariff decision comes, right? But we have we have been able to get good orders and good traction into that segment, and that is for the USA. Europe market is growing with 20 to 25% CAGR on architectural business, and India we are even faster. The growth has been faster. Though 3 years back we can say the base was small, but we continuously improved that. We almost doubled last year as compared to previous year, and this year again we are moving with the rate of 30 to 40% in India market. So in all together we are on track, and we are really. This is one of the key vertical for us because the company is working into various verticals like we have one of the strongest was PPF, then automotive window films, and the IPD. These three are like which we already doing, but on top of that, architectural window film is one of the fastest growing. Then Garhwale Home Solution will be another fast growth area. And lastly, the TPU from next year will be another one. So the company is now focusing into different verticals for the next phase of growth for it.
So one question on TPU.
Yeah.
So you have mentioned in the current PPT margins of 20 to 25% for FY26 onwards. I understand this is as we speak today without any benefits from TPU backward integration. So what kind of benefits could accrue to us post the TPU commencement in terms of margins improvement?
Yeah. So it is, we estimated that around one, in the current sales scenario, around between 2000 to 2500, we estimated this EBITDA margin will improve by 1.5 to 2% average.
Okay.
For the company.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. That's quite helpful, sir. Really, very decent work being done by the entire team at your end. So, congratulations and best wishes. And one last suggestion, sir. Earlier, our presentations used to have much more information in terms of Sun Film contribution, PPF contribution, Australian Film contribution, and also the exports and geography-wise exports. We used to have a map in the presentation, which was quite helpful, sir. So at least whatever data, whatever information we were giving in earlier presentations around 2-3 quarters back, my request would be if we can start including that again, that would be really helpful.
Yeah. First of all, thank you for the encouragement in the performance. This thing is noted. The only thing is we tried to do is, the company is growing in every segment, and there has been some competitive issues with us where, the competition is also trying to map the exact same manpower, growth numbers and everything. So that's how we have tried to, make it more concise and, of course, but we will try to see what can be done on that. However, I have clearly shared the numbers segment-wise. Only country-wise we have not shared, but segment-wise, like I said, window film has gone, is like the best ever, maybe 50% in this quarter. So I have shared all those things already in the previous questions.
Yes, yes, yes. That I do want it. Sure, sir. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Jain. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ensure the management can address questions from all participants, please limit your questions to 2 per person. If you have a follow-up, kindly rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Nilabja De from Ashmore Research. Please go ahead.
Sir, congratulations, first of all, despite all the tough time going through. So my question is that in the Q4 call, you have mentioned that you are, that time obviously that 25% tariff was not announced, the additional. But you mentioned that in case 25, the tariff, that time it was 10%. Now, so you mentioned that you are trying hard to manage the tariff part to some means, number one. I don't know on what extent you have, but obviously this additional 25% is a big blow. But my question is that overall, in terms of the diversification of the supply chain, what you are doing? Because a lot of Indian companies have learned from this tough time and they are actively diversifying, moving to UAE or some other countries where they have already signed a favorable deal with USA. Because in times of tough global uncertainty, anything can come and your only manufacturing base and stuff is only in India. So how you are planning for the next 3 to 5 years, like I will move away from complete dependence on India as a sourcing country?
Yeah. So, we are aware of this fact, like I answered in the previous questions, that we have evaluated a couple of options, right? Because the only difference between, maybe it depends on the kind of company you are in. So in our case, our quality is the prime differentiator in the US market, right? So if we do some kind of arrangements with any other company, we ensure that like we maintain the same quantity, so same quality, and at the same time this confidentiality or the uniqueness which are patented technology are maintained when we do such kind of things. So we have evaluated all those things, and there is of course an additional cost when we do any kind of such arrangements or anything which we do, and like last and foremost is the legality, like how it is viewed by the administration in terms of when you do these kind of substantial transformation. So we have like legal consultants, we have taken opinion, we have discussed with the companies, everything is ready. But only thing is, if there is a deal which is we see in coming in very soon, so before we sign any such kind of agreements, we'll have to be aware of the fact that we have to maintain that contract. We are very ethical company and transparent in all those things. So if we sign some deals in hurry or in panic mode, then it might be not great for a company in a longer term. Now coming back, this is like a short-term arrangement for 3 to 6 months. So we are aware, we have made all those arrangements. If 50% stays, we will have to do something, and we are ready with that. So that's one. But at the same time, on a longer terms, yes, we are working. That we are aware again that there has to be a permanent solution to de-risking this thing. So management is already working in that, and we have some progress on that as well. But that can only be shared when something concrete happens, or at least the primary agreement is signed. But we are doing that.
Good. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish from InvestQ PMS. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Just wanted to understand how much of the absorption, especially from September when the 50% tariff would have kicked in, would be done by supply chain and costing improvements, and how much is by us as a company on the top line as well as the customers that we have. So if that bifurcation is available, that would be helpful.
As I said, whatever has been passed on to the customer, that is really confidential, because there are many customers, and when I was in US last week, so I mean, they comment on this transcript of conference call. So most of them read like what we are saying, how the company is navigating through these challenges. So I can't give the number, like that will be the breach of confidentiality with my customers, because some may be paying, there will be some up and down with each customer. So that's why that we will park this question as of now. We but on the other issues, like there has been, I can say, 25% is kind of fully done into this quarter. So because Q1 we had an impact of 10% additional, that time we said that this has been taken care of, and Q2 there was additional 15. So in totality there was 25% and some of the 50% as well, but that kicked on in September only, so not much impact has been seen till date. So like I said, if there is a favorable deal which is likely to happen, less than 25%, so we will maintain this 22 to 25% margin, and the revenue also will be in line. But if that does not happen, we will use the alternative methods, which will again add a cost of 22 to 25%, but we can post these kind of same guidelines on margins, 22 to 25%. But this will not happen in Q3, because it will take some time before we start these arrangements. So we might see good on Q4, the same thing.
So what you're saying, sir, is 25% is taken care of, which is absorbed. But if the additional 25% does not go off out of the 50, so Q3 might see an impact, but due to the transition, but there are alternative ways to absorb the overall 50% and get back on track by maybe Q4 or beyond.
Yes. So that's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah.
Okay. And just to understand on this home solutions thing that you mentioned on the PPT, what exactly home solutions we would be offering?
Yeah, so Garhware Home Solutions is end-to-end solution for residential customers, consumers. So that means, you know, we have observed that, many of our employees and channel partners, they get inquiries like how to, cater small houses, because our sales normally happens in 100,000s or lakh square feet to our distributors and dealers. Now, there are small requirements which cannot be fulfilled by dealers, distributors directly, and we are also not able to do that. So we have made a new vertical where, we will provide end-to-end solution for even the smaller home buyers, which having like 25, 50 square feet or 100 square feet windows, right? So, and plus there are some other PPF also, which is used in home, that is like second offering. And the third will be there are a couple of more products which we are not announcing now, right, to stay ahead of all kind of competition. So in all, it's an end-to-end solution provided to residential home buyers, and it's mainly driven by, I would say, it's e-commerce driven business.
Okay. So there is a market already for there, which some other competitors might be catering to, and we are getting fresh into this. Is it the right way there?
No, there is no one. We are the one who are entering, but we are partnering with many similar kind of businesses, right? So again, I won't explain it to that degree. Maybe in next or another 2-3 conference calls, I would be able to tell that, because then it will be like a tested and proper channel for us. But right now we are very excited about this, because this is something which is e-commerce is bringing to us, and something tried and tested in other kind of businesses for homes. Nobody has done the similar product what we do in this segment. So this is going to be from a customer business consumer, we are like really focusing on the direct consumer business with this.
Okay. Last from my side, if we can segregate the growth between at least exports and domestic, how was it? I don't think I read that number anywhere in the...
Yeah. What is export and domestic? One second.
Yes, you too.
Export is about 76.
Around 76% is the export and 24% is the domestic.
And what was the growth in that? Thank you too.
See, in the growth, I can say the segment-wise, there has been actually a lot of mix in this quarter because of this tariff. But I can say window film from 42% to 50%, it has gone up. So first time window film have touched a 50% share in our product portfolio. And PPF is around 25% and IPD is around 25%. And domestic and export growth, we can separately share with you. I mean, you can reach out to IR, we can give you those numbers.
Okay. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we request you to limit your questions to 2 per participant. In case for follow-up, kindly rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Nashkit from Vervida Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I really appreciate the company's performance from turbulent times. That speaks very highly of the resilience of the company. I'm sorry, my query already got answered in the previous question. So thanks for the opportunity. Wishing best of luck for the company.
Okay, thank you very much. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankit Gupta from Bamboo Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for a great set of numbers in these challenging times. So, sir, my first question is on the performance of Sun Control Films. So, you know, we have seen a highest ever revenue in this segment during the quarter. So if you can talk about what is leading to this growth and how much of this growth is contributed from architecture films and how much from the automotive SCS. So, and which geographies have led to such significant growth in this segment? Because, you know, as per my understanding, Q2 of last year, we did around 239-240 crore revenues from SCF, and this quarter, we've done almost 285 crore.
Yeah. So, Sun Control business is our primary business, and all other businesses, the lead in our set of business. And like you rightly asked question about automotive and architectural, the growth on automotive segment has happened around 15%, 10-15% growth has come from automotive, whereas architectural business has grown around 25-30% in this particular quarter. And the growth, if you see, one of the major factor what is contributing this growth is, first of all, it has been a good, it is a summer season, but unfortunately it has not been, it's more rains this year than as compared to previous years. And in outside export market also, we didn't see a very strong summer this year. But our brand value and the penetration into channel partners and the marketing efforts altogether has really, really done well in Indian market. And one of the leading, let me tell you, which market led this growth is the Middle Eastern market. It has really gone well into that market because for us, we are a known brand into automotive, but over last 3 years, we have been putting a lot of efforts in the architectural segment. And Middle East has been a market where you know, our name was not known, and despite being advanced market, the awareness, still awareness by overall window film manufacturers is not that great. So we have now hired like local people in Middle East, and the entire team and the distributor are local people, like local Emirati people, right? And in Saudi as well. So these two markets have been that like the leaders for us in architectural segment. So your question, where the growth has come in architectural segment, number one is Middle East, number two is Europe, then US has almost the very low base that has also done really, really well. I mean, we have done a very big distributor converted to global business from one of the number one architectural film company. So, and of course, India is growing by the rate of 35% to 40% in architecture.
Sure, sir. One more question on the architecture films itself. As a segment, you know, given the potential it has, when do you think, you know, as a company, we can reach a revenue base of around 500 crore in this segment? You know, any target that you have in mind, you know, let's say by 27, 28, 29, we can reach those kind of numbers from architecture films.
Yes, definitely. So, I mean, again, we are targeting a horizon of 3 years because wherever we have hired new resources and made, you know, entire new set of distributors or taken existing ones. So I can say like 3 years horizon you can take for that kind of growth of standalone 500 crore. 500 crore alone from architectural business. And again, I mean, we are quite confident that this will happen because in architectural segment, the real competitor is there is no one. It's more of like we have to create our own market there, especially in markets like India. And US, which is already advanced market, we are taking share of our peers, right? So the strategy for each market is very different. But again, that business is really big and there is a lot of potential which we are realizing that will happen with lot of awareness into the market.
And the current contribution from this segment will be 100-150 crore or in lower than that? Architecture.
So current and contribution is like, just a second, I'll check the number. How much? 232 crore?
Last year.
Yeah. So it's like around last year it was more than 200 crore and this year we expect somewhere around 300 crore of that. 250
sure,
to
sure.
300. Yeah.
Sure. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saransh Gupta from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir, and congratulations on a good set of numbers in such uncertain times. My questions have been answered. I just wanted to know, like, what was the contribution of PPF for this quarter?
So PPF contributed roughly 25% of revenues this quarter.
Okay.
So
okay.
You can see, like, out of 500.
Yeah,
570. So 25% was PPM. So again, I'll just repeat to everyone, 50% was 50% window films, 25% PPF and 25% IPD.
Okay. And did we see an impact of the 50% tariff for the PPF segment? Like, as you can see, like it has gone down and SGA has gone more towards our finished.
So I would like to say that this is the maximum impact on our business line, business vertical. PPF has it has got the maximum impact of tariff because price per square feet of PPS is the highest among all other product category. So the tariff impact was also quite big on that.
Okay, so taking an assumption like if the penalty tariff of 25% has been removed and our second per PPF coming in, like what can be the revenue growth that we can guide with?
See, on a broad level, let's not speak on the short term for this quarter or this year.
Let's talk about long term only, sir.
Yeah, for long term, PPF will be this. I'll start with the lowest one. The IPD will go down to 20%. It used to be 30 last year, originally 70. So now it is on around 25%. So that will go down to 20%. PPF will increase to 30 to 35% and balance will be window fill. So window fill will remain 45-50 and this 25-30 and then maybe IPD 15 to 20%. So that's grow. And we are expecting these kind of numbers every year on the growth. These will be like more or less the split between the verticals.
Okay. And also just one last question. Does this include contribution from our architecture firms also?
Yeah, because as I said, the window film automotive is, we are like quite strong, but towards like, we are having the maximum market share there. So the real growth, the growth will definitely come from automotive window film also, like I'm expecting 15 to 20% for sure. And PPF, maybe 20 to 25%. But architectural window film will grow minimum 25 to 30% or even a little higher for next 2 years, 2 to 3 years. So that is a segment which has got the highest potential.
Just a follow-up on this, sir. As we are guiding this growth for architectural, so from which region do we focus our growth on?
See, we focus on, we do not leave any particular geography. We have a separate team. They are not dependent on each other for US architectural. So the idea to make a different team is like they do not like focus on, like sometimes this interest or conflict is not there in terms of growth. So we have like US separate architectural team, Middle East separate architectural team, and India separate architectural team, right? So all areas, all geographies are working towards the growth of this business. So, but the natural Middle East is really growing very fast for us in this sector.
Okay, sir. So, if we blend all these regions together, obviously the cost, there will be some cost difference in that. But what can be the blended margin that we can make on this architectural pins, as we are the only sole player, as you mentioned?
No, on this particular segment, it's not about, we have to, first of all, like I said, we have to create our own market. At the same time, compete with the glass, there are certain modification in the glass also helps these kind of benefits, but that becomes very expensive. So we have to make the product pricing in such a way that we get the maximum business out of this. But the plain and simple thing is most of the glass is plain glass or toughened glass. There is a lot of possibility to have the sun control, safety, security, and combination safety. That means if you have a simple glass, you can put a film to block your heat component by, around 50%, right? At the same time, you can control the glare and sunlight also, whatever degree you want. So ultimate, the competition is with the glass. But where there is a retrofit and all things, we are working hard to get those kind of business. So I'm now coming back to what you asked about the margins. Margins, on the high product, we can go up to 25-30%. But again, we would like to give the company margins more than the individual segment margins, because there is very low-end films also. Like they are, we call them single ply and not a much benefit to the glass. And versus the very high-end IR films, which can block up to 99% of near infrared. So the technicality is the product can be highly technical but expensive. At the same time, it can be very, at the price, that very economical range, but it won't give you that kind of benefit. So overall, if we talk of, like, you know, the mix of architectural business, I think this will be slightly higher than the company margins, which is 22 to 25%. So we can assume 25 to 30% is the margin.
That's very helpful, sir. Thank you so much, and all the best for your future endeavors.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sunil Jain from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question and congrats on the results. Sir, my question relates first to India. What is the total share of the India business? You said that it has grown very well, 30 to 40%. What is the total share of India business, and in that, how much is IPD and how much is the consumer-led business?
Yeah, so total 24% has come from India, 76% from exports, right? So that's the broad, category-wise for overall company business, export and domestic. Now, in that segment margins, we don't give, but just one second. Your question is how much the growth has happened into industrial product and consumer products, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so consumer product, there is hardly any growth. In fact, there is slightly degrowth, I can say.
Industrial.
And consumer products, we have really grown well. So I can say on two different segments, there is a growth of 15 to 20% on automotive and 25 to 30% on architectural.
Yeah, but talking about 30 to 40% growth in the domestic market, so
yeah.
Segment has grown faster, means.
Yeah, so I said there is a segment which is like a kind of untagged or only, let me tell you, there are commercial buildings which do a lot of window films, especially for the safety films. Like many of the chain, hotels and then these, the lifestyle brands some of the brands by jewelry and all. I'm not naming them per se, because we have to check the permissions from the brand owners. So we do lot of such business, which is quite common, right? We were already doing that business and we are number one in that. And we sell the highest volume in that. But the real growth is coming from like commercial, other than those like hospitality and lifestyle brands. So the next round of growth is coming from malls and all those things where we are putting a lot of efforts in architectural business. And lastly, from the home solutions where residential buyers. So we have like good network of applicators, plus architects, plus the builders on that. So that overall, because this business was not being, the focus area for us or any other company. So we have shifted the focus to area which is, like, which has got much more higher potential than the existing ones, but it needs a lot of awareness and we have to, like I said, we don't compete with anyone. We have to create our own market. So that's why we are seeing the good growth there. It's because we are creating that segment for us. It is taking time, but base is low, so growth is quite fast there.
But the auto business was growing at around 15-20%.
ETF. Yeah, that is more or less with that.
The second question related to...
Sorry to interrupt, sir.
Yeah.
So I would request you to kindly rejoin the queue.
Okay, yeah.
Thank you. Participants are requested to limit their questions to two per participants. The next question is from the line of Mahesh from LIC Mutual Funds. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you so much. I have just one question. Sir, you mentioned that, there are news reports that there is possibility of a deal between India and USA. If it happens in near future, we will benefit in Q4, right? Since our inventory is very low in the system.
Yes, we'll definitely be benefited in Q4.
Q4 will be very strong in that case.
Yes.
Sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankush Agarwal, Surge Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you for taking my question. So just one thing that I want to understand is you have given a good explanation of how you're dealing with your customers in terms of inventory and passing off, say, tariff and all that. I wanted to understand how is that playing out with, in terms of your white labeling customers. We do white labeling, especially in the PCF for some of the larger customers. So in that case, what's the strategy that they are working with? Like, are they diversifying their supply chain or they are still continuing to buy from us, but we are sharing a substantial portion of the tariffs? Like, how is it working there?
See, the strategy-wise is the same for both. But yes, with the tariffs, because short-term, both have to bear the cost because it's in PPF, the value becomes pretty big. So in that case, the impact also becomes big for both the companies. So that is being shared. But this is in expectation of something will come out, else we'll have to make arrangements. Like I said, we are ready with alternative arrangements as well.
Right. And the inventory situation that you highlighted, which has gone down from, say, 3 months to 1 month, that will apply to this white labeling customer as well, right?
Yeah, that is with everyone. That's the general consensus. We have had discussions with our customers, whoever customer, maybe distributor, dealer, or white label, that how should we deal with the situation. So that is a consensus, like how we will deal, and we are dealing according to that.
Okay. And lastly, so has there been any impact on the consumer level offtake for this product, given this, there would be some price increases or whatever?
No, not really, because the ultimate impact to consumer is either pretty low or there is no one, because we are assuming, like I said, because of the inventory, we are trying to work with the minimum one so that whatever the short-term pains are there will be there. Like I said, in Q3 will be a period where there will be a lot of adjustments of such kind of adjustment would be there. But on a longer run, we expect either one, or, we have like couple of solutions. There is court, there is a deal, and there is alternative arrangement. So ultimately, by one way or the other way, in the longer term, our growth story is intact. So that's why we have kept consumers away from all these situations, because the aim is not to lose a single customer. So in that way, ultimately, it is worked in this way. So that this is absorbed somewhere in the chain, not passed on to the consumer.
Oh, go. That was helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, this will be our last question. The next question is from the line of Arya Shah from Whitestone PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Hello. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Yes, sir, you're audible. Yeah. Please go ahead.
So I just have a question on the architectural product side. So I just wanted to understand ki on the architectural front, do we make products which are like protective for a marble, or we make products which will replace marble in the near future? Like it will give an effect like a wallpaper or something.
We make products which can be applied on the marble but cannot replace marble, because that segment, our architectural segment, means we focus mainly on to the safety, security, Like if you have a high building where high-rise building, then there is a possibility of breaking the glass, including, you know, the toughened glass also breaks and might cause injuries. So our products are like they are the best for such kind of situation. That is number one. Then the situation is where you're, you face a lot of heat and all. So our fins can reduce the near infrared, I mean the heat component up to 99%. So that's the another way of doing like our films into architectural business. And third thing is the surface protection, which can be applied on the furnitures or any the marbles, kitchen sink and all those things. These are like the examples of architectural business from our products.
Okay, so we don't make the design kind of thing for the, like on the furniture or something like that, right?
No, we don't do
no,
that.
No design thing. Okay, thank you. And all the best.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Yeah. Thank you very much. On behalf of Garhware Hi-Tech Films Limited Management, I would like to thank you everyone for your time. Should you need any assistance or any questions, please write to our IR department. Thank you very much. Have a good day. Bye.
On behalf of Go India Advisors LLP, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.